Well, a very good evening to you out there in the kingdom and beyond, and thanks for tuning in to another Terrace Talk here on Monday evening. And I suppose it might be a few weeks to Christmas, but the action just seems to keep on coming here week after week after week. There's absolutely no stop whatsoever. And of course, tonight, of course, we're going to feature, I suppose we're going to talk about the new senior team in town. That's Milltown Castlemaine. Congratulations to them. They returned to the senior championship following a very entertaining win yesterday against Fossa. And it was heartbreak just out the road as well for Crotty O'Neill's, whose Munster journey, I suppose, came to, I suppose, a premature end in their eyes above in Mount Cole, but they certainly gave everything they had against the Cork champions, pushing them all the way to extra time and just finishing up a small bit short at the end. And of course, there's an awful lot of Munster action going on as well, and it was a great victory as well for Clonmorris in the intermediate Munster Camogie Championship there as well. They defeated Blackrock of Cork 10-5, and I suppose it's, things don't change. Patrice Diggins with another 8 points, a fantastic Camogie player and a footballer as well, to be fair to her. And off the field, of course, there was a All Ireland glory for Spa and the Dancers, and it was third place for Churchill. Well done to Tráthnóna Cheist as well. And I suppose, what about David Clifford and Louise Mary Hurtig picking up Player of the Year awards there after their long intercounty seasons, and then another 9 All-Stars as well thrown in there for the kingdom, 4 for the men and 5 for the ladies. And Dan Carney will join us there after 7 o'clock to chat about those and the ladies football. Now, you can be part of tonight's show as well by dropping us a comment, and you can do that by calling Ivan on 066 712 3666, or you can text on 083 300 3300, and also on WhatsApp there. And Keane is on sound supervising all that this evening as well, as we look back at the weekend's action. And I suppose we might as well start with Liam and John. We said we'd give them a break, but sure, after that big exciting game, we probably got him in here in a hurry. John sporting his proper outfit tonight, and how old is that top, Liam Brosnan? Mother of God,
that's truly 80 if the good old Sigerson Cup done. That's not too old.
They were in the Sigerson then, were they?
We were in the Sigerson then, that's right. Yeah,
they were the good days. Come here, all the action, all the talk, everybody wants to talk about that game yesterday, Liam. Did the right team win?
I suppose, look, going into it where everyone was kind of debating who, like, there was no one that could tell you what the week leading into it who was going to win this game, because there was never going to be too much between them, because at one side you had a very good team in Milltown Castlemaine, now playing Division 1, they know, held their own all year,
very steady team,
yeah. And then in the other side you had a team that was progressing nicely with the last 2 years, won the All-Ireland last year, and then you have the two Cliffords, two of the best footballers in the country, in my book, you know, thrown in there. So you just did not know. The only thing last week, and I even said to John when I was talking to him, that I felt that Milltown would have to score anything between 15 to 20 points to win that game, and did it. You know, because look, David was always going to score maybe 10 or 12 points, maybe 110. You know, you just don't know what, he was always going to score high, party and everything. And I just felt that if Milltown could score at a high rate, that they would be in the game. And the two goals proved pivotal yesterday. You mm-hmm. know, it was yeah, but it was an entertaining game, massive crowd. You know, I think it, you know, they showed that the club football, all right, you know, between the razzmatazz and the supporters and everything in all the competitions that we've seen this year, you know, it was there was a great buzz there. And yeah.
Absolutely. John, Ostensack Park, I mean, people talk about it, don't be full half the time, but when it is full with a crowd of 5,000 or 6,000, it's a magical place. I mean, there's an amphitheatre of sound, the supporters can take either side, it's a great vantage point. It lends itself beautifully to a club championship final.
Oh, it does, don't lend it. It's, you know, it's a cauldron of noise and colour when it's full. You know, it's a great venue for that type of a crowd. Mm. And you know what, the game lived up to it as well, like Liam said, very hard to call it during the week. You know, we know what the Cliffords were going to do, a lot of talk about Fossa coming into it, but maybe Milltown Castlemaine came in under the radar, like, to a lesser extent, you know. And they've been building nicely, they have a lot of exciting players,
And they had beaten good teams along the way. I mean, yeah, they beat Kilcombe, and people said, yeah, tick, they could be favourites. They beat Legion.
Yeah, that was a big one, I think, really, Legion, you know, because they were one of the favourites. I think Staxton themselves at the start, we said they'd be one of the favourites for it. They beat them. And, you know, it's look, when you have, like, say, Killian Burke and Aidan O'Connor, you like possibly have the Cliffords, but these two, I mean, Killian Burke is an exciting talent. Ian O'Connell's probably one of the best kickers in the game. In the
I told you that last year, Les.
No surprise.
But I think that goes back. I was involved when he was a minor. Like, yeah. He's a sweet kicker, in fairness to him. And, you know, it's all about getting scores. Mm-hmm. And, you know, great credit due to Milltown. They were senior. They went down, you know, down for a bit. Great facilities out there as well. You know, fantastic job done there off the field.
Yeah.
And this was a big one for them. And, you know, it's, I suppose it went to the wire. If you were told before that David Clifford would have two chances, you'd say he'd get them. It just shows that he's human after all. He kicked 12 points, but they just came up short. A fantastic year for Fossa, but, you know, Milltown march on, they go up to senior ranks, and then in the Munster club.
In many ways, are they more equipped as a team to be senior, Liam?
They probably are, I think, experience-wise. You know, and I think, like John hit the nail on the head there, you know, if you can get things right off the field, and I think Milltown have done that in the last couple of years, the facilities, the whole lot, they're playing a high division of football with the last numerous years.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that'll help. I think you could see Fossa have improved from last year, you know, and I think this year will bring them on a bit as well, because they've learned from, you learn from your mistakes, and even yesterday you could see towards the end they might have had one or two chances that they could have scored, other fellas could have scored, but they were kind of looking for Davis or Paddy. You know, I think from learning from this, Fizz will be taught like, if you're open, you have a shot. You know, we can't depend on two players. You know, so they will be learning. Fellas get more experience, and they'll be getting more confidence. And I think that's, and Fossa are a club that are growing as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and I do think that Fossa are a team. You know, that'll be around for the intermediate for the next couple of years.
I suppose they're ahead of their time, aren't they, Liam?
They are.
Nobody thought they'd be contesting in intermediate final this soon,
yeah.
You know,
and that jump is a big jump. I mean, successive promotions from this time last year, they were just escaping from this.
And David said that in his interviews as well, like that you have to kind of make hay when, you know, yes. Because it is a hard competition. We see the teams that are in it again. I think I got a WhatsApp or something with the teams that are in the intermediate again next year. Yeah. There's nothing given in the intermediate, you know. So
only one team not in it that was in that list.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All the rest of them are still there.
All the rest are still there.
It was as tough this year as it was last year. Come here, we'll talk more about it, okay? Because we want to celebrate about All Ireland's as well, and we have others coming in. Now, Spa, I suppose, didn't have far to travel on Saturday evening when they headed down the road to the INSC. They're in Killarney as their Rinka Set team, of course, representing Munster, went on to win the All Ireland Score Sheen Centre final. And a huge congratulations to Katie and Anna O'Connor and Megan Cronin. Anya Brossom's on the team, Keenan Doherty, Gary O'Sullivan, Keane O'Sullivan, Liam Spillane, who actually scored a goal yesterday for the Kerry District team as well. Very busy character. And of course, their mentors as well, who've supported them throughout the year, and indeed probably many more years before that as well. And one hugely proud man, of course, was Kerry GAA's culture officer, Tomás O'Hanafín, who joins us now on the line to discuss that achievement. And indeed, there's a couple of other Kerry stories to it as well. Detron on Tomás v. Iha on Saharan, Harvey, Ian Tuck.
Ni lein daud fi gwan vi sher o se fat agus ni Chris fi ev gwmen ner vi shak agus di ni daud sir starcha. But I was actually nervous when the Spa dancers were dancing in the All Ireland, because I had seen them in the All Ireland semi final and they were absolutely fantastic. And when they're on stage then, and the pressure was on, big local support for them, big stage there in the INEC, and you're just hoping that every step and every move goes right for them. And in fairness to them, they pulled it off and they got rapturous applause from the all in the auditorium. And what a venue for All Ireland Score in the INEC there in Killarney. Everybody was. That I spoke to who attended were raving about it, like it was absolutely fantastic. So huge congratulations to Spa from all in Chris to score here there done. Absolutely brilliant. You mentioned their names there, I won't go through them.
I did, and some good footballers and soccer players and everything among them, and I suppose sisters of famous footballers as well there as well, Megan Cronin. Tomás, I suppose a lot of people when they talk to GAA, I suppose they talk about obviously the football or the hurling or the sports side, but the cultural side is a very important leg of the GAA as well.
It is indeed, and anybody who was looking for something to do on Saturday evening last, the entertainment was provided absolutely second to none, like all the different varieties. Like from, I had a show up there, there was a young girl from, well, girl, congratulations, the lady from Limerick, but there was a lady there from Armagh who was absolutely fantastic, just talking about the penalty shootouts that the Armagh had been through there with the last 2 years there in their endeavours to move on to win Sam Maguire. Like it was just brilliant. The novelty acts were just super. superb as well, like, you know, and the whole thing of it, like, and it's a side to the GAA, but the people that, you know, that people don't maybe hear enough about or see enough about. But I mean, sometimes you'll associate with being in, oftentimes being in crowded halls and maybe damp and cold halls, but my God, the INEC is some venue for it, like, and it really is an opportunity for people the next time it's there to come along and to experience it. And do you know what it does, Donald? It brings, this time of year, it brings, you know, club, other club people together, sometimes footballers, sometimes hurlers, handballers, whatever, maybe they might be finished with the game, and it gives them an opportunity again just to push forward and be involved at club level. And I suppose, Donald, you mentioned other people involved. It was a great day from a charity perspective. You had Ray O'Sullivan there, who was judging in the Irish Oroch. You had our own Christy Killeen, if you had also Fatma, Mar Arati, the Tranagest, by that, Donal, and in the two boys present with you there, no, if I get them around, if Don Christie's questions, they don't know, they'll be getting 10 out of 10, like, you know, we want
yeah, John, can you get Mawson right now? Liam would struggle, isn't
it? We won the Christmas, man.
Well, it was brilliant, so well done there to that, and Martin O'Carthy, my own club in Lisbon there, was invited there to, he started proceedings with our own Naveen, and I hope I've covered the Kerry people involved.
We better mention Churchill, or I'll have Mikey Moriarty chase me.
I have my finger on the page here, no, the one that I won't go beyond them at all. I've got, for Mikey, if he's listening, we'll just tell him we'll save the best quiz minds until last there, like, you know. But yeah, to all the Christian score who were involved there all day and who gave their time voluntarily for the day, it was absolutely fantastic. So Keith Mila Breakers that got in a Chowrig, and to Anne Holland there, who took absolutely superb photographs, and they're probably up online someplace for all of you guys who go to those places in the sky, whatever they are, like, you know, to seek out these informations. But yeah, it's Churchill down in the Tranagest. It was Tranagest, you see, is running two stages. It started at 11:30 in the morning, and they had a bad first round and have not a brilliant second round. They lost 2 points in the first round, 1 point in the second round, and by God, eight clear rounds of full marks. What a performance from the team to finish joint top with Mill Street from Cork then, and just one ahead of Offaly, Eden Derry from Offaly, and the three teams, they went on the stage and you had to sit out there. There were five individual questions, you write down the answers, and I'm led to believe that following the three rounds of individual, you know, that they were neck and neck with the other teams, and unfortunately, you know, that they just got caught, and Mill Street went on to win it. And incredibly, Christy is Quizmaster, and the last time the Mill Street won it was in 2001, and the Quizmaster was our own Murisha Mahuna from Ballygunacu. So amazing, like, you know, brilliant day for all, and a fantastic celebration by the spa crowd. Disappointment for Churchill, but there's no doubt provision she was a national reach done.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, Thomas,
yep. One other thing very quickly, the whole score year is rescheduled, so in the spring of 2024 it'll be senior scores. So on these long nights now, people there involved in the clubs, you know, the participation in senior scoring, Kiri, what the talent was brilliant, the numbers participating wasn't what we'd like it to be. So look for all the clubs out there, the Christy Cultura there, just to get up and running, and we'd hope to see a bigger participation at local level out in, is it Holly, what's that one out there again, Liam, out in Killeen, is it only
Killeen Community Centre?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So listen. Gramil Mahagat got the nizon, and Gramil Mahagat has got them. Desh Laura Hurtum, Agasam, Kugaris Krishles Paw, Agasam, Tuk Mahagat.
Yes, so Gramil Mahagat, Tomas Asan over Crua, Pod, let's score. That's Tomas O'Hanifin, the Kerry J Culture Officer. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Very welcome back to Terrace Talk, and the comments are coming in, and I'll get to plenty of them. And of course, all the comments are basically as well on Fuss and Milltown. A couple on the All Stars, which we will touch as well at the back end of the show. Loads of Stephen Cluxton fans out there. Obviously not in Kerry, but we have a couple of them, and we will read a few of them. Of course, but we're going to go back now, of course, to, I suppose, analyse yesterday's game, Fuss and Milltown. And on the line, Andrew Moynihan was there on the sideline watching the game. Andrew, first of all, the question I suppose that I asked the boys at the end, did the right team win it?
Yeah, thanks, Donal. I think so. I think when you look at Milltown Castlemaine, they're probably the more balanced team heading into it, and that kind of showed yesterday. And I suppose the greatness of the two Cliffords for Fossa, nearly got them over the line, and it was a thrilling contest, but I think, to be fair, the right team won.
Yeah. To be fair, I suppose Milltown at half time, I'd imagine they'd have been pretty disappointed, maybe not with their performance, but by the fact they didn't have enough on the scoreboard, maybe.
Yeah, and I think they had six wides in the first half, and personally I thought that would come back to bite, but they're definitely much more efficient in the second half. But I suppose they were definitely disgruntled at half time that they didn't pop over more of those shots, because I suppose when you're against Fossa, they'll always be in the game. You can never count them out.
Mm-hmm. And of course goal chances are hard enough to get. Gavin Horn had one after maybe 6 or 7 minutes that kind of skirted across in front of the goalpost, and as you said, it probably didn't end out to be a huge miss in the end, but a lot of wides as well. It felt that Milltown, particularly in the first half, they were taking kind of high percentage target shots that really there was going to be no kind of wind bones at the end of them, and they had some horrendous shots and horrendous wides.
Yeah, they did, and there were definitely a few shots you consider as gimme shots, but luckily for them, it didn't come back to bite, and as I said, a lot more efficient in that second half. And as for Fossa even, it's interesting that they had just two wides in the whole game, so that's a very interesting aspect of how the game went for Fossa, and they were after the 55th minute as well, so they were perfect up until the 55th minute, which is very interesting to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. The big talking point in the first half, particularly with the crowd, was Paddy's penalty, no penalty. He goes in, he goes down. To one side of the field, it looked like a great tackle, and the other side of the field, it looked like he was kind of pulled down. A bit of talking, the decision was made. Brendan Griffin, to be fair to him, he didn't really rush to judgment. He kind of listened to his umpire, and he made probably the right call in the end.
Yeah, I think they were probably correct to revert the call. It wasn't a penalty, in my opinion. Why it was changed to a hot ball, I'm sort of unsure. And Paddy may feel aggrieved as well not to have his quick shot at goal disallowed. But at the end of the day, it wasn't a penalty, and Fossa did get a point out of it.
Mm-hmm. They got a point, of course. They went to half-time 8-17. Everybody felt that Fossa were going to kick on. I mean, they had the win, and the win was significant. David, of course, levelled up matters fairly lively. But I suppose the crucial score was Brendan Casey's first goal, really.
Yeah, and I think Milltown Castlemaine's goals, they couldn't have come at better times. Brendan Casey's goal in the 38th minute, his first one, was just right after David Clifford pushed Fossa in front for the first time. And I suppose it's all credit to a fantastic run from Gavin Horn, who found Brendan inside, and he finished with style.
Mm-hmm. And of course, big impacts. Jonathan Sullivan coming off the bench. I mean, he scored 2 points. He was on a lot of ball. Jonathan, of course, has played from Milltown Castlemaine for many years and has always been kind of a big impact player, probably at starting level, but coming on, he's 2 points crucial.
Definitely, and it's what you want in a substitute, really, Donal. He got on a ton of ball, he got 2 points, and his impact was just immense on the day.
Mm-hmm. Of course, Fossa did, you know, I suppose they went 3 down, they came back, they got back level again, and then I suppose another sucker punch in a sense, but that Killian Burke run was certainly value for money.
Oh, exactly, and it was, the second goal was like the first. Clifford put Fossa in front again. Milltown come bombing down the field. Killian Burke with an insane run. He got past, I think, 5 Fossa men, twisting and turning. He found Brendan Casey, who finished off with a brace in the day and a point to boot. I suppose when you're looking at Killian Burke, it was definitely shop window day for him, and his running was immense throughout the game. He's a serious engine, and I'd say probably a cert to be in the Kerry panel next year.
Mm-hmm. And then of course it comes down to the wire, then, David, 12 from 12 all day long, everything going right, under massive pressure, producing fantastic scores, and just, I suppose, at the end, the shot that goes wide.
Yeah, unfortunately he was unlucky to hit that free at the end, but I suppose a tough angle, and he is a victim of his own huge standards. But his performance yesterday was one for the ages. Mm-hmm. I'd compare it to the one against Galway last year in the All-Ireland final, his game against Tyrone in the 2021 semi-final, and I'd suggest anyone who hasn't seen the scores from yesterday to go look at it on Twitter, because it was just sensational to watch. Like, the mark he got, the point off is right near the finish, and he just continues to excel, and he proved his back-to-back Footballer of the Year worthiness.
Mm-hmm. Steve was on the line there. We're talking about impact off the bench. Jonathan Sullivan-Liam had a massive impact yesterday.
Big impact,
I mean, you're talking about teams bringing on subs. Fossett didn't seem to have that impact off the bench. That was probably kind of maybe known before.
I think that'll come over experience, over the years, over time that'll come,
But the 2 points, how crucial they were, because they were against the wind as well.
Yeah, that was huge. And it's funny you said about this topic, because I had Jonathan in the Sigerson above and Tralee as well.
And he wore the jacket.
It was very stylish. He's one of these forwards. He's a score getter. Mm-hmm. And it was important when he came on yesterday. You could see he wanted to get scores. The two points he kicked, there was no one else going to get the ball. He knew what he was going to do. And you know, they were vital scores at the time. Mm-hmm. Because Fossa were kind of getting on top a small bit at that stage, but Jonathan came in and kicked a couple of points, because everyone was kind of looking at Fossa. They had the breeze behind their back, and you know, they were starting to maybe click into gears a small bit, and Jonathan just kept the scoreboard taking over from Milltown. And next, all of a sudden, when Killian made a run, you wouldn't see the way he slid through five or six fillers. You know, that's what we like to see from wing forwards. That's the old style wing forward, to take his man on and he went, instead of being roaring from the sideline, mind the ball. They were telling him take his man on, and he went through him like a knife through butter, and he created the goals. You know, and I know people will say about him that he's not a great scorer himself, but my God, does he create scores? Yeah. You know, and that's what
I suppose. To talk about John creating scores, you need to finish scores, and Brendan Casey yesterday. I mean, whatever annals of history will be written down about the young lad, two goals in a county final, a half, of course, what David Clifford scored, but far more crucial probably at the end result. He missed a couple in the first half. He kicked a few wides, but he was virtually unmarked throughout that game. Did they ignore him, or did they say, God, we let him alone? Or because they did play a sweeper, maybe it sometimes even played two sweepers, but he seemed to be free for an awful lot of the game.
He did, yeah, and as you said, in the first half they missed a few, but I think they rallied at half time. The big thing about Milltown in the second half, when Fossa went ahead or threatened, Milltown reacted, and the goals were crucial. But like himself and Ian, a 2-9, mm-hmm. they got between them. Like, you need a big score. Like Liam said, we all thought that they'd have to kick 15 plus points to win it, or maybe 112, whatever it may be, because of the Clifford factor. But look, 2-1, he put away the goals. There were two great runs by Gavin and by Killian, but he had to finish them, and he did.
And what I like about him is that he got into the right positions. Usually if a fella's not marking, he'll stand the way out, but he got into scoring positions.
He looked to finish the goal.
He looked to finish the goal.
He could have given two hand passes over the bar too, but he looked to finish.
The second goal, he rounded the goalkeeper and hit the back of the net. Dead from Cora as well.
At every level we see players taking the easy option.
Yes.
Another guy yesterday with the conditions, he tapped it over the bar, but he had one thing in his mind and he went for it and he got 2-1.
Does that come from a team talk? Does that come from the player you are? Does that come from the management saying, listen, we want you to take your chances, Liam?
Yeah, it comes from a bit of everything, and it comes the managers that just kind of saying, go out and play. Mm-hmm. You know, and Killian Burke is a typical example of that. You know, there was none of this, you know, mind the ball or, you know, over and back to field. He was taking his man on.
He was well contained in the first half, though.
He was.
He was turned over a couple of times, and a couple of his turnovers let the scores down there into the field. I mean, he kind of came on into his own when he came maybe a bit out of the field.
Yeah.
Would that suggest that he's more comfortable probably running from deep?
A player like that, he needs to be facing the goals. Another kind of, and he did that because I suppose they were trying to mine Gavin. They kind of changed him with Gavin for in the middle of the field at the start of the second half, and he kind of got more space, around that area. But like, when you have players like that, you got to give them free rein, because I know they're going to make mistakes, they're going to turn over a ball, but like, you have to, you know, sometimes you have to make a few mistakes to get something good out of. And to be honest, he was the match winner yesterday with the runs that he created, because Milltown needed goals to win that game yesterday.
And I suppose, like Paddy Clifford with Kerry, he takes on the guys and goes by
same thing.
He mightn't do it every time, he might get turned over, but he takes them on, he's making space, and the kickers do the job then. But he's selfish running, like he's taking on the responsibility, he's get the opening, but he's enough sense upstairs then to pass it off. And I think when he gets in with Kerry, I think he's going to be developed even more, because I think he's only starting out, look, and he's a lot to learn, but he's quite good. at this stage.
But Milltown had a pile of runners yesterday. Like David Roach, centre back. Don't know, he made a couple of attacking runs. Had a fantastic game. Power, and to be fair, Gavin Horn had a fantastic game for a man that had one leg, and he had one leg. Don't know, and to make that run for the goal, I think that's when he kind of did the damage again. But like, interesting. Listen to his interview after. Don't know, he didn't care if yesterday was his going to be his last. He was going out, and he was going out to win it. Yeah.
Doesn't it say a lot though what the club means? Like, I read an article by Ian Twiss on Saturday, coaching officer. This was the one. Like, you could sense the pride in the interview, and Gavin the same. He was going to play in that county final. He couldn't train during the week.
Couldn't, yeah.
So like, you know,
it's gas you mentioned Ian Twiss, of course, because they won the All Ireland in 2012.
That's right, yeah.
I think 9. They came along. They won the Munster 11. They won in 12. They beat a gang from Mayo. I can't think of their name now. Davids, actually. Beat Davids from Mayo. He scored 4 points from frees, right? But the man of the match in the 2012 All Ireland final was
Mike Burke.
Very close, wrong.
Very close, Ron.
Nowhere close at all. It was Cathal Moriarty.
Cathal, yeah.
Cathal Moriarty was captain yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, and a solid year. Seen a couple of these games now this year. And yeah.
So there's a link to the new crowd coming through from the winning of the 2012. Does that play a bearing on it when you're inside and saying, lads, this is what it was like, this is how it amalgamated the club, this is how, I suppose, the supporters got out. There's that kind of runability. Have Milltown that runability this time? Either two of you.
Yeah.
They have, in fairness. Yeah. And I think a lot of it comes, look, you know, you see who the coaching officer, Ian Twiss.
Yes.
He's been there and done that. Huge respect.
He knows it now.
Huge respect. They're building away. They went through a few tough years. Mm-hmm. You know, they developed on and off the field. And now you say they have the experience, but they have the young lads coming in. And they're learning from the experience, guys. You, like said, Brendan Twiss, a selector. You know, he has forgotten more about football than some fellas will ever know. But that experience there, he's a referee. He can see both sides of it. And I think their manager, Burke.
Mark is excellent.
From what I hear about him, like, he's meticulous. You know, and his team played that well.
And I was watching him yesterday, and I know Mark through the development squads with the Pest. I watched him yesterday. He was the first manager that I ever saw that linked up against the Finns a couple of times and just watched the game. You know, usually managers are roaring and shouting and everything. He just sat back. He put his.
He wouldn't have been heard yesterday, roaring and shouting, 5,000 people.
It just tells me that he was letting his players do the job. You know, he wasn't roaring at them to mind the ball or go backwards or sideways. He had faith in his players, and that's the way Mark is. Very cool, calm customer. They were from all round. No more than the Milltown management, and I know all the boys there as well. You know, but it's just unfortunately the green came out on top of the red yesterday.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Come here, Andrew. Just one question before you go. A big week for Kerry in the fashion sense. New jersey came out.
Yeah, and I suppose it's a return to basics, and I suppose that's what a Kerry jersey should be. And personally, I'm a big fan of it. I think it's the nicest one since Paul Gallivan's effort back in 2018. It was also used in 2019 as well. I can neither confirm nor deny if I purchased it already. But walk around Clarny at the weekend, you just see a shot of people with the Kerry store bags. It seems to be a popular one, and a nice touch with the 1984 tribute. And but I suppose at the end of the day, an All-Ireland winning jersey is a good jersey, so that's what you can take from that.
Absolutely. Of course, Sean Kane doesn't need to buy it because he has the 1984 jersey.
It's not player fit though.
do you have any of the old jerseys, or even allowed to bring them home then, John?
Yeah, we were. I have a few, all right, Donald. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah. Wow. I have that.
What does a few mean in North Kerry currency now? Is that
a dozen or more, maybe.
A dozen or more.
But that was a nice one. Like, when you were first of anything, I think it's nice.
Your final jerseys are nice.
Nice to have.
Is it kind of surprising, Liam, that with all the ways of fashion and the whole lot, we're reverting back to tradition to look at our strong green and gold colours for our jersey again? We always kind of go back, don't we?
Yeah, that's our history. That's what we grew up as youngsters, is the green and gold. I know people are giving out about the leisure wear, the different colours and stuff like that, that they're not happy with, but that's leisure wear. You know, sometimes people won't wear green and gold tops going out or anything, so that's why they county board, you could see they tried to change it around a small bit just to make it more marketable, I suppose, the way things have gone now. But I think it's a lovely jersey. I like the colour of it, you know. And I even said it to Ambrose, was it last week? I said, did he save a lot? Like the question you asked, John, yes. did he mind his jerseys? Because my mum used to keep my final jerseys. I was never swapped the final ones. I always kept on to the.
You were in loads of finals, weren't you?
Well, there's a couple of them, all right. I still have my two senior jerseys as well. But but Ambrose, that's the one jersey he kept, was the 84 one. Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. John, it's gas, like, when you were playing back in 84 and the whole lot, and of course we must mention Willie Maher tonight, obviously, because Milton Castlemaine, he came through. I'm trying to think of Milton Castlemaine, famous footballers. He was certainly one of them that came through, a great minor as well at the time. Are you conscious back then of the whole jersey and keeping it, or was it just play and be done with it?
No, it was, I'll tell you, it's a huge honour to wear the county jersey in any county, you know, wherever you're from. But in Kerry, it's particularly, you're falling on from legends, you're just there, and, you know, it's a special jersey, Donal, to be fair, and the tradition that goes with it. So anyone that's fortunate enough to get a jersey from 1 to 26 or 1 to whatever, 21 at that time, you know, you cherish it, and especially if you win, it's even more special.
Mm-hmm. Did people swap jerseys back in those days?
They did, yeah. I have a few Dublin jerseys, a few Cork jerseys, and Niall Cahalan's maybe, and Dennis Welsh, and a few like that. But the final jerseys, particularly 84 to Centenary All-Ireland, was a huge year for Kerry, because, you know, having been beaten in 82 and 83, 84 was special. Mm-hmm. But I think Mico put emphasis on the fact that it was Centenary year. There's only one team going to win the Centenary All-Ireland, and that was going to be Kerry. And we had a fantastic captain in Rosie. He was brilliant. And, you know, a team of legends that were on the way down, maybe, but there was a kick in them and they went on to win three in a row.
Mm-hmm. It's a big kick, three in a row.
Yeah.
Plenty of comments coming in, and we talk about kicks. Donal, I'm a great believer in respect for the kicker. I was disgusted at Fuss of Fans yesterday when Ian O'Connor was taking frees. It's not part of our game, and it's not what people believe is okay. Then the GA is going downhill. I suppose, well, you know, I suppose there was lots of noise for lots of kickers yesterday. Donal, David Clifford. David Clifford is one of the greatest footballers of all time. Whether he won or lost yesterday, it will hurt nothing for his reputation. We travelled all the way down from Galway to watch him, and it was a fantastic story to bring home to our neighbours. Yeah.
Yep.
Funny enough, Liam, I mean, yesterday, it's amazing when you sat in the crowd, there was obviously very Milton Castlemaine people, there was very, very fussy people, those very neutral Kerry people that you would have known, but there was an awful lot of other people there.
There was. Walking in the gate, I met two people from Cavan.
Wow.
Yeah, yes, they came down and they came down to get autographs. Well, they were in before me, so I didn't know if they paid. I presume they did. But you could see the amount of people that travelled from all over Ireland to see. Like, we were just saying, like, you know, that, you know, the Cliffords do put bums on seats, like they do, honestly. And rightly so, because even watching David's performance yesterday, you know, it was one for the ages. He didn't win it, but by God, the points that he scored and the way he played yesterday was just...
Like, well, it's Foss's night, Donal, I suppose. Yeah. We'd have to say, the interview David gave on Friday night at the All-Stars night, you know, and like Alan Gillan as well in the hurling, but we'll talk about David, like, you know, this was football of the year, back to back. He spoke about missing the chances in the All-Ireland final, about his mum, the tough year. What an interview, like, for any young fellow out there, like, inspiring. And while it is Milton's night, look, David Clifford is up there in lights. He's one of the best, and he will go on to be one of the greatest.
And we're lucky that we have him.
And we're lucky.
Yeah. David Clifford was unreal yesterday. It was an absolute pleasure to watch him play. He could do no more. 12 points in a final for your club is outstanding. Donal, Ian O'Connor gets very little credit for all he brings to a team. Donal was right a few weeks ago when he said he was a class kicker. There we go. Did I say more?
One fan in it, Donal.
One fan in it. Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Mr. O'Connor. Great to be at the game yesterday. Travelled all the way down from Waterford with my mum, as we did for the Stacks match. Two exceptional games, two exceptional players. Would have loved it if it went to extra time. I reckon the East Kerry manager will sleep a bit easier tonight. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There is that, of course, John. Milltown will now depart Mid Kerry.
Yep.
So on the face of paper, it would look like they weaken it. Fossa don't leave, obviously, so that leaves the two Cliffords and I suppose Emmett O'Shea and the couple others that were in the panel. Does that skew it a little bit for East Kerry already?
Look,
or is it next year another year?
Another year, but East Kerry are going to be one of the favourites every time before there's a ball kicked. But certainly, Milltown's departure is going to weaken Milltown. There's no doubt about it. You know, the calibre of player they have, and you know, but look, they'll be looking forward to going up senior. They'll be trying to follow in the footsteps of what Milltown have done, what Rathmore have done.
Yeah, Liam, if Aidan O'Connor was not Jack O'Connor's son, would he be on the Kerry team? That's a
100% agree, yeah. And I see no reason. I know that people, if he's saying about his age and stuff like that, there are many around the county that are much better than him.
We'll coach on that number. There isn't many more.
He's looking all year. He's one of the top forwards. Yeah.
He has delivered for the club. Donal, how good was Killian Burke when Milltown moved him out? He drove through the Fossa defence and he caused wreck. Yeah, that's what we touched on earlier. Paddy O'Shea was right, Donal, about GAA fans. It was not in Sack Park yesterday and saw David Clifford score 12 points from 12 shots when he missed the late free. I heard people giving out. Crazy but typical, I'm afraid, John, is it?
It happens. Look, it happened. It happens every player. And, you know, there's a certain element out there looking, they're expecting greatness all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not, he's human. He couldn't do any more. He missed the chances and, you know, but that's supporters for you.
Yeah, absolutely. David Clifford makes football a joy to watch. And it was football was a joy to watch, to be fair. Milltown Castlemaine did a great job yesterday, Donal, on the Cliffords. And still David scored 12 points. But they did limit Paddy's impact a lot more, Liam discussed.
They did, yeah. I thought, you know, they changed players around him. I see Gavin McKenna was on him for a while, and Gavin had a very good game as well yesterday. You know, one fella that really stood out. But yeah, not saying that he had a poor game or anything like that. Yeah. I just think he looked a bit tired in the second half.
Yeah.
No. If anything comes out of all this fuss and loss, and I think it has been said, you know, I think the two boys needed this break. I know they would like to went on and try to win another All-Ireland with fuss and stuff like that, you know, but I do, because Paddy is in a position where there's a lot of work. He took a lot of hits yesterday. Every time he got the ball, Milltown had three and four around him. No more like David every time, but Paddy was a guy that they targeted all right yesterday. But he was still one of the fellas that came to the fore.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. And of course, in fairness, the comment was they limited him.
They tried to limit him, they did.
And I suppose that's all you can have. Donal, Milltown, Castlemaine would have been kicking themselves had they not won that yesterday. They missed all above and before them in the first half with easy points, and they missed an open goal as well. Yeah, we were saying that. I mean, if they had lost, John, everybody would be pointing to their first half performance.
Oh, there's no doubt. Going a point down, that would have been, it wasn't a reflection on the way the game went in the first half. But the main thing is, they're learning from it. They were against the wind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the everybody thought Fossa would kick on,
yeah,
but they didn't.
Can some teams play better against the wind?
They can, yeah. I think you can get space. There's more space. You're the team that'll hold the ball well. Yeah. Strong runners.
Does it suit more comfortable footballers? Does. Well, is that can play it, keep it, retain it? Yeah.
And the strong runners.
And the strong runners. I think that's the critical one. And they had runners from all angles. Milltown, they have a lot of pace in the
game. Because if you look, the first goal was a breakdown. See, when you're playing with a breeze, the opposition will attack.
Yep.
You know, so it was a turnover. And next thing, Gavin Horn went on the gallop.
Brendan Casey will go down in history as one of the most important players in Milltown Castlemaine's history. I think we kind of mentioned that earlier as well. Hi, Donal. Patrick Kilcoman here. I think Fossa should be promoted to the senior championship next year. Why? Because Fossa are good enough to go senior. Also, the senior county championship would be a cakewalk for East Kerry next year. There, well, my God. I suppose to get promoted, you'd like to win, though, wouldn't you?
You would, yeah. Yeah. And it gives you that bit of a push as well. When you win, it gives you, it builds a bit of confidence in the team and stuff like that. Like going straight up into senior. I think Fossa could eventually get there, but I think it'll take they'd want one or two more years to build more around the Cliffords.
And maybe for more players to come through, the ring collarings of the world.
That's right, young guys, a bit of experience,
A couple of more years at this level and a couple of more tough games as well. Ivan Tidings asked the hard luck to Fossa, well done to David Clifford with 12 points, and well done to Paddy as well, 2 points. Maybe if they got the penalty, it would be in a different game. Sad to see David crying when he missed the last point, keep the head up, roll on 2024. And hi, Donal, congrats to Milltown Castlemaine. Are they good enough to go all the way to win the All-Ireland? And then he thought, I thought Shane Ryan was very unlucky not to get an All-Star. And that's Charles out there in North Kerry. Good evening to you, Charles. The Shane Ryan thing we will discuss on the way out, and we did already. Have we crowned them already, All-Ireland champions? No pressure out there, Milltown Castlemaine.
They're a solid team.
Yeah.
No, there's no superstars in them.
John Evans is waiting from next week.
John Evans is waiting from next week. And Cork champions. So that'll be an interesting one for them.
Kilmartra are kind of...
They're dogged.
They're real tough. I mean, to come out of Kilmartra to win the Cork championship, you obviously have to jump a lot of fences. And we'll have one more to jump as well. But now we will take a quick commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now it's going to be a big evening tomorrow evening for Kerry GAA. Of course, we have plenty of motions to go through. We haven't here. We'll hit one or two of them maybe before the end. But obviously, the other big event of the weekend was the All Stars. And of course, we said our congratulations to Davis winning the player with that ticked. The All Stars, the quick first comment, I have loads of comments to be fair coming about Shane Ryan should have got an All Star. He was the outstanding in goal all year. The Dublin media only picked the All Stars. Stephen Cluxton was the only played three games. Shane Ryan will be back next year stronger than ever, and that's from an East Kerry texter. And of course he'll be playing with Ratmore next year, not East Kerry. Cluxton in goal, he becomes the oldest man ever to win an All-Star, John. 7th win, he won his first one in 02, he's won another one now 21 years later. I presume on the strength of winning the All-Ireland he was always going to get there, was he?
He probably was, you know. He only played 3 or 4 games, Donald, but he's a super keeper.
He probably wouldn't have won the All-Ireland without him.
And that's why he was brought back.
I remember
we were here the night when he was on the panel.
That's right.
He came back for a reason.
Yeah.
And critical to them, but very unlucky in Shane Ryan. Thought he had a very solid year.
The defenders, Conor McCluskey, Derry, he won his first one. Michael Fitzsimons got his fourth one. I presume that's the David Clifford marking job that kind of put him there. Tom Sullivan got his third one. And congratulations to him back in Dingle. Of course, a big win for Dingle as well, the West Kerry Championship the weekend. The half back line, it was a tough half back line. James McCarthy, yes, fifth award. He's on the go as well, a long time now, to win 5 awards. Gareth McInnes, Derry, interesting one. First win for Derry there. And Conor McCarthy, Monaghan, as the number 7. They certainly went all around the country to get the half-back line.
They did, and I thought our own Jason was hard done by, to be honest. I thought he had a great Jason Foley. I thought he had a great year.
Yeah.
I thought he was... I had him down my as one of the Kerry All Stars.
I thought so too, and I thought Christy McCaig was the other one.
Yeah,
you know, he's very consistent here, up to meeting David Clifford, but Clifford did to him what he did to most fellas. So,
exactly, yeah.
You know, but Jason, very unlucky. Thought he was very consistent, and he's marking the best player in the opposition all the time.
Now, we did have a comment in for Jason. He hit the headlines there in the North Kerry Championship. Of course, Jason forgot to bring his green shorts with him, and he wore white shorts. Jesus, Jason, for the replay, bring your green shorts. I'll have more comments coming in. Now, midfield, Brian Finton, Brendan Rodgers. You couldn't argue with Rodgers.
No, you couldn't argue. No, it was a great year. Fantastic year. Yeah.
10 was Paddy, 11 was Shawnee, and 12 Enda Smith. Nice seeing the Smith win one.
I suppose the big eye opener there was probably no sign of Mannion.
Yeah.
That was the
talking point.
Would
Mannion have been centre forward? Was Shawnee took Mannion's one, did you?
Yeah, so that's why we're not giving out that much, I suppose. Yeah.
But doesn't it say a lot? Dublin are All Ireland champions, one forward.
Yeah.
And he was man of match in the All Ireland final.
And outside of Paul Mannion, they hadn't another forward that was in contention, I think.
Not really.
Callan, Kieran Kilkenny.
They got Basquale, all right.
Basquale, but they weren't in it, you know, so it says a lot about the way the game has been played.
The game has been played, yeah.
David, of course, at 13, his fifth award. I mean, my God, he's winning them for fun now. 2018, 19, 21, 22, and now 23. Shane McGuigan, Derry. And, of course, Basquale was on the other corner. His first award as well. For Derry. Is that why Mickey Hart has gone up to Derry fairly quickly?
Yeah, look, I suppose we were lucky enough to get over the line against Derry.
It was one game that if you lost, you'd have said,
We wouldn't have come away with too many objections about it. Yeah. But yeah, there seemed to be a team that's coming. No, I met a fella not too long ago, and he said maybe Mickey might bring him backwards. He might, because they need to be playing attacking football.
They do.
But it'll be interesting to see what way they go. Yeah, but for Derry, I suppose they they would have been the four fellas you would have picked out. Yeah,
John Kennedy, at 42, I mean, to still be playing club football is something. Obviously, Intercounty, I know you're a goalie, and people say, oh, well, you know, it's not the same. Clarkson, obviously the oldest ever All Star, and then he coded at the stage, which is amazing. Could he win another one at 43?
He could. I think he's critical. It's a huge position now, the goalkeeper.
It is, yeah.
And I don't think Dublin have anybody to take over from him. And that's even more important. And that's why he was brought back.
God almighty. And David Clifford, of course, at the other end of the spectrum. I mean, he used to be a young guy, 25. I was looking at, of course, Morris Fitz was probably as young or maybe a small bit younger than him in a couple of weeks when he's won his first one. And we also always talk about David and the five. But Paddy Clifford at 26, he's three All-Stars won. I mean, he's kind of come under the radar because he didn't reappear out of the blue. He kind of came in on the back of East Kerry.
East Kerry, yeah.
Would he have been seen, and of course it's a very subjective question, had he not been with East Kerry?
Well, look, East Kerry put him on the shop window.
Yep.
And
yes,
it kind of shows that when you're playing with in a county finals, you're up against the best players in the county, and we saw that there was something special with Paddy. Now, we were all kind of saying, had he the temperament for it, and you know, it was like a switch. He did. He turned into, you know, he turned into a guy that was just a real leader on the field, and it is proven today like this. We can't do without him. Really, we could do with another Paddy Clifford, but no, he's a guy. He's third All Star, and there's a few more left in him too. Donald,
Liam, seeing that you were in the GM one and not the one that sells all the bedrooms and all that kind of crap jacket, will you explain to the listeners what a restart kick is? Because there was some bit of confusion, particularly when people thought it was a penalty. For Fosse, more people thought it was a free out, and then nobody knew what poor old Brendan was doing, because but he did know exactly what he was doing, which is probably the most important thing about it. It was a restart. Some people call it an indirect free kick. Why does that happen?
Yeah, look, the indirect is coming from the soccer side of it, but basically the restart kick is if a player goes down injured, if, don't know if he's on falling or not being from the opposition, you it's like they say, it's a restart, but you can't kick it to goal. Well, you can kick it to goals, mm-hmm, but someone has to touch it. You know, it's basically it's an indirect kick, so yeah, that rule is there, but it's under the restart kick.
Yeah,
you can't score direct.
You can't score direct.
Yeah.
And the player has to touch it. Whereas Paddy could have kicked it at the goals yesterday, and maybe if the goalkeeper got his fingertips to it and pushed it over the bar, it would have been allowed.
Yeah,
yeah.
So the referee clearly decided, I'm stopping play now because there's an injury to a player. Obviously, the Talbot guy went 19 feet into the air, got the ball, landed on his back, couldn't play the ball. Some people are saying he should have been pinged for a free out, but the referee decided, he was quite close and he saw it, there's an injured player here, yeah, I'm going to stop. And he clearly explained to all the players, I mean, obviously players want to know what they want to know about it, but he clearly had control of it. Paddy took the quick free or the quick tap, mm-hmm, or whatever some people call it, the indirect free kick, and the game just gets on again, and that's the way the game is played. A lot of people as well, John Kennedy, talking about the referee in the first half, the penalty that he gave, but then he went in to take advice.
Yeah,
we've been talking all year about we want referees to empower linesmen or empower their umpires. I mean, this was a case of a referee just doing that.
Yeah, look, Brendan is one of the top referees, in fairness to him. He's an intercounty referee. He showed his experience. You know, a lot of people were talking about the indirect free or the restart. He got it spot on. Mm-hmm. I think he was calculated for the penalty he went in, or the supposed penalty he went in, discussed it, and it wasn't given. And, you know, his people respect him because, you know, he makes the right decisions and the tight decisions, usually, in fairness to him. And the biggest tribute you could pay to ref is he was inconspicuous yesterday.
He was, yeah.
I know both teams wanted to play.
Yeah, of course.
But he was inconspicuous. Yeah. Top class ref.
I think the biggest call he made actually in the game was coming down the back straight, Fawcett touched the ball on the ground right in front of the post and gave Middleton a handy free, which was obviously scored.
That was a good block down, actually. That was a block down.
But he landed on the ball and he landed on the ball.
He couldn't help himself. No, it was off the ground, but it was a fantastic block because he was either going in the back of the net at that stage.
It was amazing. Quick word in as free kicking. I mean, the one from 60 metres.
Oh yeah, that was a sweet kick in the first half.
Yeah,
with the breeze, and he'd won after it again, and we thought he might kick it, but he didn't. He didn't really go for kicking it, but he's unerring with his free kicks. But not only his free kicks, his whole intelligence, his general play, and the intelligence that his movement, and he never gives away a bad pass. No, so it'll be interesting now to see. Will we see him inside with Kerry?
Not a hope. Stop. Don't be putting pressure on the father. Listen, guys, thanks very much. Great to catch up again tonight. You go away now and do your homework because we have our quiz in 3 weeks' time. The Hurling boys are certainly getting down the banks. After 7 o'clock, we will be catching up Dan Kearney and we'll be talking about Lace football.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now, just a couple more comments to get through. Hi, Donald. The Brennan's board will be the team for next year with the Sacks, and Rahel is on board. That's John from Coro. Yeah, absolutely. St. Brennan's, they look like a fearsome prospect with the amount of soldiers they have. But of course, it's all about gelling them and getting them together. Great spectacle of football yesterday. That's how attacking football should be played. Us exiles were lucky to watch on Clubber. Hope they can put the North Kerry Championship also on it. And that comes from Team Mac, of course. And there was a great game, the North Kerry Championship. Of course, Bale and Belly Dunhu couldn't be separated. So they're going to do it all over again. I think that's the semi-final level, so they're really motoring along. Hi Donal and all at Terrace Talk. Well done to Milltown Castlemaine yesterday. Great win and one they'll savour. David Clifford to score 12 points did so well. Can I ask about the front page in one of today's newspapers? Was disgraceful to have the Clifford's photo with the headline Clifford's brought down to earth. It was shocking. It's like they were glad they were beat. Pure gutter journalism. Not right to treat two sports people who have given all to their clubs and county like that after such a tough year that they had. And thanks for viewing my comment, North Kerry listener. Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, it's the world we live in. You're up in the clouds one day and they bring you down another day. But that's the way the world goes, I'm afraid, sporting-wise and otherwise. Now, talking about best things happening at the moment. Kerry ladies, of course, they won five All-Stars on Saturday night. We're talking about the men winning four, but five again, one step up again. With Lewis McHertig, of course, named the 2023 TG Cahir LGFA Players Player of the Year. And of course, that's a big award because it's the players that vote for it as opposed to judges as well. And it's always, I think, a huge mark of respect to get picked by your players. And of course, she matches David Clifford's achievement as well, of course, winning Player of the Year. And of course, she got chosen ahead of the Dublin pair, Leah Caffrey and Jennifer Dunn, of course, and they won the All-Ireland. Joining me now, Dan Kearney. I haven't heard him from a long time, of course. It's great to be talking ladies football again, Dan Kearney. We kind of saw this coming though, didn't we? I mean, I think everybody at this stage would say Louise Murray-Hertig, outstanding year again, even topping last year's where she was topping the scoring charts as well. And I think, to be fair, it's somewhere along that fantastic journey that she's had all the way, all the years, all the scores, all the miles. And I think there was a real genuine warmness with everybody in the Bonnington Hotel that night, Dan Kearney, when her name was called out.
Yeah, absolutely. Hugely popular is Louise de Murray-Hertig, sports person supreme, footballer supreme, and now, you know, player of the year, and richly deserved. You know, I mean, she could have got it last year as well. She's coming into the form of her life, really. I suppose she's 32 years of age now, and she's playing better football than she ever played, and she's been playing for Kerry so long, and she's never let them down. But really and truly, at this stage, she's kind of imperious. She's on her own, like, in terms of the top forward in the country. And you know, like you said, there was a feel-good factor about it, you know, that somebody that works so hard, is so skillful, such a good sports person, you know, never does anything out of the way, really. Like, you know, you'll never see a dirty stroke from Louise Murray-Hertig or anything like that. And that's where, I suppose, the warmth came from, like, that people saw that somebody this good was recognised for how good she is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was very emotional. You know, her speech was quite emotional after. You could see what it meant to her, but she still let the caveat in like that, you know, it's unfinished business still, as far as she's concerned. The dream lives on, she says. She still wants it on Ireland as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, like, there's been, I mean, look, we're talking about, you're 32. I mean, her career is long and getting longer at the moment, and we still probably think that Louise is the, I suppose, the 22-year-old that's on the team. And we look back maybe to the All-Ireland, we'll say, against Cork, and I suppose the devastating blow that time when she got the yellow card with a couple of minutes to go, which was totally unfair as well on the thing. And she's had all those disappointments, but she keeps putting those boots on year after year, different setups, different managements that she's gone through, different players that have come and gone and the whole lot. And yet she still has that magic desire, magic hunger, magic fire for the whole game.
Yeah, I think, like, Louise de Murray-Hertig loves Kerry. You know, it comes across, it's clear. it came across in her interview as well. Like, she loves Kerry. She mentioned Kerry so many times that, you know, and she is of the county. Like, you know, she's from down in West Kerry, Galarus, native Irish speaker. And, you know, like, that all shows with her. When she puts on that jersey, you can see the pride in her. Like, you know, and she goes out and she does her best every single time, like every player does. But she, her best is better than most. And you can see she is very, very proud of where she comes from. She's very proud of putting on the Kerry jersey. And she is Kerry to the core, really, like, you know. And I suppose she's kind of, I suppose, a talismanic figure, really, for this team now at this stage, in terms of her carryingness. Like, if a fella was able to write it, like, you know, John B. Keane or something like that. But Louise de Mahertig really would sum up carryingness for you, like, you know. And absolutely, it's great that she's continuing on for the coming season, like, because she is still so much to offer.
Yeah, absolutely, and she keeps herself superbly fit and everything, and hopefully injury free for the whole year. Come here, we're talking about Proud. We'll give you your big moment. Had you bonfires in Castle Island? Had you?
We're holding off. We're holding off. We will have, you know. But I look, three all stars. You know, you have Lorraine and Lorraine Scanlon and Cott Lynch and Eilish Lynch with her first, and we're absolutely thrilled. I mean, they're three role models. They're, you know, they really are for the club and for young players coming up, and for Kerry people in general. Like, they are role models, and like, I mean, they've been trucking away an awful long time as well. You know, Cott and Lorraine, like, they've been around the scene an awful long time. Same with Eilish, she's still only 28 years of age. The girls are touching on their early 30s now. But Eilish Lynch, for me, I am so delighted that she got it. She had an ACL injury a couple of years ago. She missed our campaign. She was a huge loss for the Desmonds when we were going through the intermediate to the All-Ireland semi-final. And she has come back, and she's come back better than ever. And it's phenomenal to see a player such a genuine, good person. Again, another girl that gives it her all, gives everything to the green and gold jersey. You know, these people sacrifice their lives for it, and we're so proud of him in Desmond's. And of course, we must also mention Niamh Carmody, you know, up in Finucane, and soon as Belle Langford woman herself. What a phenomenal player she's been for the last few years for Kerry. Deserve a second All-Star again for her, and you know, they must be so proud up in North Kerry of her as well, like we all are. But just going back to the Desmond side of it, if I can, you know, I mean,
we'll allow you.
You gave me the opportunity, so I might as well. But like, what these girls have given to club and county, you know, Cott Lynch, her third award there. Her first one was in 2012.
Yeah.
You know, she won it as a cornerback. Then she came along in 2022. She won it as a midfielder, and now she's won it in the halfback line. I mean, that's unbelievable. Like, I was talking to Darragh Long there a couple of nights ago. He said, "Jeannie, we'll have to play her in the forwards next year so she can get one of the forwards." You know, and Laurie in there as well in the middle of the field. That's her second one as well. Like, and she kept Desmond's to an All Ireland in 2014. You know, this is the kind of this, and they're just such role models, and for our club in Castle Island, and like I say, for the green and gold in Kerry, and we're so proud of him, and we will have a big night out yet on the back of it, Donal, for sure and certain.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Cott in 2012 jumped from a junior team straight into the All-Ireland senior team that year, and that junior team were beaten in an All-Ireland final by Dublin, of course, and the player of the game that day was Hannah Tyrrell, who's gone on to bigger and big things. Let's talk about Dublin for a second. They won 8 All-Stars, but it's kind of interesting looking at the spine of the team. They took the goalkeeper with Abby Shields, young keeper, first kind of time kind of making the grade there, Norma Kira Trent was there. The fullback was Leah Caffrey. They had Marta Bourne at centre back, Jennifer Dunn, of course, midfield, nobody doubting that. Orla Nolan picking up another one there at centre forward, and Carla Rowe at 14. So if you think about it, if any manager sat down to pick a team, they'd pick a goalkeeper, they'd pick a fullback, they'd pick a centre back, they'd pick a midfielder, they'd pick 11, they'd pick 14. They really took everything that was of huge importance.
They did, you know, and probably, I suppose, rightly so. If you think about it, I mean, they were a phenomenal team. You know, they really came. You could see the All-Ireland semi-final, the All-Ireland final. They really powered through. You know, they deserved them. Now, the only thing I would say is, of all the Kerry players that missed out, I would have to say McCostello was probably the unluckiest from my point of view. Anyway, I felt she had a serious chance of getting in there at centre back. I thought
she had a serious final as well.
Yeah, Yeah, she had a serious final. She was arguably Kerry's best player in the final, you know, and she has that resoluteness, like, and never say die attitude, like, that you need in a team, like, you know, and she's physical. So she was unlucky there. But, like, on the other side of it, yeah, you can't argue with what Dublin have in there. Like, no, they're a phenomenal team, and they really they deserve their representation, really, as well, it must be said. And the likes of, I suppose, Ciara O'Sullivan there, wing forward for Cork, I thought she was phenomenal this year as well, and she's another girl I felt really deserved it. If you were looking at, you know, there's always going to be arguments. Like, if you're looking at one or two arguments, you'd wonder Danielle Caldwell there from Mayo, very, very good footballer, absolutely won an All-Star. But was she good enough for an All-Star? I don't know, maybe not. There might have been maybe another contender there, maybe even our old, we've planned to Kerry Hattigan, maybe even our own Katie Cronin in the full back line, like, you know. So look, that's it. But I think in general the team is quite fair, Donald.
Yeah, it is. And I suppose I suppose what people have to know is what it is over the whole year as well. They take in league as well as championship and the whole lot, unlike the men who kind of just look after the championship in a sense. Danielle Caldwell, her second one. But yeah, I agree with Ciara Sullivan. I mean, it's her fifth one. I mean, she's been trucking that Cork team a long time now as well. Let's talk about Cork for a second, because that'll bring us back to Munster. The big announcement, obviously, is TG Carr are going to show the provincial championship finals live next year. Obviously, they showed the championship live when it kicks on. That's another huge positive, isn't it, to have hopefully a Kerry and a Cork final, or to have Kerry in a final against another Munster team possibly. But again, it's hugely important for the development and the growth of the sport.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, I suppose if the more you see ladies playing football, the more it's appreciated, really. Like, and I mean, even Liam Braston there, he touched on it. Liam saw a good bit of football there. You know, in the last couple of years, you know, we've heard your Kerry and all the rest of it, and fairness, like, I think Liam is after getting a new appreciation of ladies football, and having things on TV like that, you know, in Munster final, that's phenomenal, because, you know, people that can't make it or whatever, like, you know, they can watch it on TV and they can see the skill levels involved, which are very, very high. So I think that's another huge step forward, Donald, for sure, and certain.
And of course, league fixtures are out, so that obviously means it's just around the corner in January. The approach for Kerry this year, then, I mean, obviously last year the boys were in early and it was kind of, we'll try and survive first of all, and once we know we can survive, we can kind of maybe game by game after that and see where it takes us. And of course it took us all the way to the Division 1 final, Croke Park victory over Galway and the whole lot. Do you think there'll be a different approach this year? Will they have to kind of find extra players, new players, different ways of winning games, as in will the league this year be used ultimately for having a look at the All-Ireland series maybe?
I think so. I think the lads will go a different way about it this year. I think, you know, if you look at it, like, even last year, the team that stayed up with 4 points. Okay, so it's 3 points for a win, and you get a point obviously for a draw. Like, so 4 points will keep you up. 2 wins will certainly keep you up. I think Kerry will approach it differently this year. Kerry went last year all out to win it, and they did. It was fantastic, and you know, it was very important that they won it last year. This year, I think they're going to gauge themselves for championship. I really do. I think they're going to try out players. I think they're going to bring in as many new players as they possibly can, and give them game time with looking at the broader picture going forward. And I think they're right to do that as well. Like, you know, I think at this stage the league isn't terribly important. It'll be important to stay up. That'll be huge. Kerry need to be playing Division 1 football, but ultimately down the line I think they'll be looking at trying to win a Munster championship and ultimately winning an All-Ireland, and that's going to be the goal. So I can see them maybe targeting one or two games. You know, obviously Waterford game there will be one that you'll be looking to win, and who knows after that, you know, like, but 2 wins will certainly keep Kerry up. Maybe the Mayo game as well, you know, we've had a good track record against Mayo recently. We have them at home in February. So yeah, I think that'll be the goal. And you know what, who knows, new players, they might shine and you might end up in a semi-final, who knows, you know. So, but ultimately I think it'll be about trying out players and preparing for the championship.
Different approach. Come here, before we finish up, of course, you had your phone with Castle Island Desmonds. You have to congratulate the crowd in the south as well, do you?
Oh, sure, of course. Like, they won a Munster B there. You know what, fairness to them. Good friends of mine down there in Southern Gales, they won a Munster B. Dan Fitzpatrick over them, and a very, very good win as well. Like, it must be said, like, I mean, 3-9 to 1-14 over Cumara Rangers, and a kind of a very, very, very good game, like, above in Mallow in extra time. And in fairness to Southern Gales, they stuck at it, pulled it out of the hat. It was a part, like, I mean, Cumara Rangers went extra time there with Bally McCarvery in Watford, and we saw Bally McCarvery going on to win the Munster A title, as we'll say. So for Southern Gales to beat Cumara Rangers there, I think it's a good result and a good step in the right direction. I won't say, unfortunately, from a Castile and Desmond's point of view, that Southern Gales have that little bit of a fill-up now, like, coming into the next season. But look, fair play to them. They did very, very well, and I was very, very happy for them on the day.
Jeez, there'll be nobody beating Desmond's now next year with your three all-stars. God, they'll have to split the club. Come here, Dan, the other Kerry team, and we'll mention them as well, Clonmec and my van. I mean, getting to a Munster final is a massive achievement. And a couple of years ago, nobody would have known that Clonmec and my van had a team of any sort. But they've slowly been building. They've got a good youth structure, and they've a decent enough setup. And God knows, they weren't too far away from winning a Munster final.
They have an excellent setup, and like, this is a club that's been struggling for years, and they've been struggling to field teams, but in the last few years they've really got it together and they've been building. And this year, of course, ultimately they went on to win the junior championship in Kerry, and nobody gave them a chance really of doing anything in Munster, I suppose. But they beat Daisha the first day, and then they went up against O'Donovan Rossa, and you know, O'Donovan Rossa, Cork, Skibbereen, you know, West Cork, they're going to be strong. And they were strong. But I'll tell you one thing, just Clonmec and my van, they were so well organised, they gave it absolutely everything against them. And we're unlucky, you know, Brian Carty there over them, very, very good manager, good guy as well, and you can see how the players play for him. And they did on the day. They were just a bit unlucky. O'Donovan Rossa had that bit extra, to be fair. Like, they shot a lot of wides throughout the game, so they were deserving winners. But it was up to the last 5 minutes. O'Donovan Rossa kind of put on the burners and scored a couple of points near the finish to pull away from Clonmec and my van. But they're a club, even straight after the game, talking to Brian, he was saying, look, we're targeting intermediate next year, we're going to go for it, we want to keep building. And they have young players coming through, which is vitally important. You know, like, there was a Kelly Inright girl there playing for them the last day. I think she's only 16. And they have Michaela Mulvihill as well, young girl as well. So that kind of talent coming through, you know, is vitally important, along with some of their older players like Erin Finucane. And she won't like me for saying she's older, she's only about 27. But you know what I mean? That kind of you know, building with youth and experience, and you know, they're going to be a force at intermediate level in Kerry next year. And fair play, and they're really put up to O'Donovan Rossa.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yeah. Aaron Finucane, I can remember her coming on the Kerry team at under 14, and Clonmec and my van, I know didn't even exist at the time, but she certainly did, and certainly a fantastic player, and it's great to see it.
Absolutely.
And Dan Carney, thanks very much. Go away and celebrate with the three girls, and congratulations to all five girls, and a major congratulations once again to Louise Nomura Hurtig, the Players' Player of the Year from the LGFA. I mean, basically what it says is that every player in Ireland thinks that she's out there on a pedestal, and she certainly is, and well deserved. And we'll talk about her hopefully throughout the year, and we'll talk to you as well, Dan, on the other side of the year as well. And thanks for all the help throughout the year as well, and thanks for all the support for ladies football. We'll take a break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now I'm joined by the Tralee Rugby Club, and they're back into league action here. I suppose they're a couple of weeks back into league action now, and I'm delighted to be joined by my friend Ashley Sheehy, who already has a link to the Clonmec and my van team at the start. Tigger is back from, I suppose, Tigger, they didn't...
Round two.
Yeah, absolutely. Tigger, of course, is the manager, trainer, coach and everything else that goes with it. Jacqueline Fraser, new face. Come all the way from Canada, Jacqueline. You're very welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Fair play. We had an old Canadian, but we now have a new Canadian, is
emphasis
it?
Emphasis on old, yeah.
Old, yes. We have Ruth Murphy, who is young all the time, and Leisha Driscoll, who is ever-present on this team.
Thank you.
That's a good line, ever-present. Yeah. We didn't go old, young, youth, anything. Ruth, welcome back, first of all. It's great to be back. Things get bigger and better every year?
Definitely bigger and better, yeah. So we're back as Tralee. So back wearing the blue and white. And we've really big panel this year. We've 35, 37 girls this year, 16 of which are all new players for this year. And out of that, I think there's 6 or 7 came from our underage structure.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So it's fantastic.
Absolutely. So the production wheel is beginning to move at last.
And you
can move them in, of course. And that's the problem with a senior team. When you kind of start at senior, there's a bit of a gap between the 14s and the 16s till they're getting there. But they are getting there now. 16 new players. I mean, obviously people hear about and want to join the whole lot. Are they new players competitively or just having a look? Or are they all sleeves rolled up and ready for action?
It's a mix and match of everything. We have new players that have never played rugby before and got stuck right in. We have players who played at underage level and then gave up for a couple of years. And we've players that played in college and just joined us. So it's fantastic having them all. Yeah,
absolutely.
Brilliant.
It's a big melting pot. And of course, Neil Tigger with a big stick is supposed to keep everything in line and on time and the whole lot. Is it harder to look after 35, 40 players plus when you were here last year? You were kind of struggling trying to get more in the gate. I mean, it's obviously a great problem to have.
Yeah, it's a good headache to have. So last year we finished with a maximum of 17, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now we're 25 on match days, stuff like that. But fortunately, we have a good senior group in the team, which do a lot of work as well. Like, so it's
you need your nucleus strong, don't you? I mean, you
the core of the group is really, really strong, and they work really, really hard to get messages across and help out with training and everything like that. So, and we have a former Great Britain Lion, Great British Lion, in Des Foy. He used to play rugby league for Ireland and for Great Britain and for Newcastle Knights down below in Australia. So he's come on board helping out as well, so he's a wealth of knowledge to have on board there, like helping out. So,
and does that knowledge kind of bring, like, even, I suppose every coach thinks this is how I do things, but when you have a fresh voice or a new voice or somebody different who has a bit more experience, that adds to the whole thing?
Oh, definitely. It adds to the thinking. You know, you're always learning as a coach. I'm always trying to figure things out, review things, make the sessions better for the girls, figure out what we need to work on, figure out what's working well. And having Des voice in there has been brilliant, because he's tons of experience, years of experience at professional rugby league, you know. And then it's also good for the girls, because he'll talk to the backs, he'll talk to anybody, he'll be at the side giving them little key nuggets, which especially for the new girls who have never played rugby before is really, really good. It, you know, fast tracks them along the line, like, you know.
Absolutely.
And takes a lot of pressure off.
Ashley, does it get easier year in, year out, extra year, new year? I mean, were you jumping back to get into action?
Yeah, I suppose with the football, we lost the Munster final on Saturday and I was back at training on Wednesday. So it was great to be able to go from like a loss like that and come into a great group of girls and like Tigger and Des. It's a great support system to have. Like, even when I wasn't there, they were still supporting me.
Mm-hmm. The support system is gas, I suppose. You have your support system in that sport, and then you come into, I suppose, a different sport that obviously that you've played and you know and the whole lot. Are the problems different? Do people say, I was only, whatever, get on with it, this is far more important? Is there a different kind of support in the rugby team? Do they take things easier, or do they kind of say, come on, get up out of that?
No, I think we all play for each other. Like, we're playing for the people beside, like, each other in the line. Like, mm-hmm. You're talking about people playing along with you and you're going towards the same goal. In football, you're still playing for the people beside you, but your body isn't on the line as much. Mm-hmm. But it's this trust between ourselves and as a group. I think it's quite important.
Yeah, the body on the line. I mean, Leisha, that's the whole rugby motto, in the sense that you are playing with your colleague next door. They need to give you that extra push, maybe for those 2 inches or whatever you need to do. It's a different dynamic of a sport, in a sense, but it's a real team sport. It's a real camaraderie sport. It's a real sport where, I suppose, everybody, whether you're 1 to 15, really kind of have to depend on each other.
Yeah, big time. A lot of the times it can be like a one-on-one battle with whoever's opposite you carrying that ball, and it's it can be like, right, I have to make this, and if I don't, they're in, you know, that kind of way. So, and I don't know, it's interesting. There's a lot to be said for going out on a Sunday, running, you know, full whack into another group of women and then coming and then coming away afterwards and going for like tea and sandwiches with them afterwards. Do you know what I mean? It's a really interesting culture, but it's
a small battle, but it's not a war as such. Like, I mean,
that's what's great about it. It's really empowering. Actually, it's great. Like, you know, to be able to use your body in that way. And I think we talked about it the last time we were on that. Rugby's for everybody. It's all shapes and sizes. No one person looks the same as the other, which you can find in other sports where that, I suppose, more athletic physique, big, tall, fast, strong is more valued, whereas lots of different body shapes are certainly valued to a really high level in rugby. So but yeah, it's it can be a war.
And can that be kind of, I won't say a big wall to jump over at the very start, but I mean, you're going into a dressing room and there is fast, slow, all the wrong words I'm going to use, but obviously I mean them in the right way. But does that kind of disappear fairly quickly when you go out and Tigger blows the whistle and you all have to run up and down the field? All of a sudden you're together.
It's nearly the opposite, because you've just different women coming in from all shapes and sizes, but different backgrounds as well, and they're coming in and being like, oh, there's actually other women here that kind of look like me, whereas I might not have found that in other sports. So yes, I'd actually nearly say it's the opposite, and it's a thing that galvanises the team.
It's more comfortable in a sense.
I would say anyway, yeah, for sure.
Two new faces on the team. Will I go to my left or will I go to Canada? We'll go to Canada, I suppose.
Sure.
You're coming in loud and clear anyway. Jacqueline, I mean, have you arrived in Tralee?
Yeah.
Super. So this is your kind of first social club?
Yeah, pretty well. Other than meeting people at school, it was my first kind of sports team that I joined.
Have you played rugby over in Canada?
Yeah, so I played through high school, so for about 4 years, and then had Brilliant. 2 years off before I came here. So
super. What was the first night like?
It was scary. It was I was excited to get back into it, but I hadn't played a full body contact sport in a long time, so it was kind of a bit of a shock, but it was good. It felt good to come back.
But of course, you're going into that kind of community group as well, where I suppose you're the outsider for a couple of minutes, but then you're inside the dressing room with him, and then you're outside, and then Tigger's probably shouting and roaring at you, and Desfai's probably correcting him how to do it and the whole lot. But then all of a sudden, you're part of the team. You go the second night, you go the third night, and then you're not the new person anymore, are you?
Yeah, no, these girls have been very welcoming. Tig has helped me out a lot, and Des, they break it down for me as much as they can to help me understand it, and it's been awesome.
Super. Kai Flynn. My God almighty.
I know.
How long were we working together? You never told me you even liked rugby.
I actually came from a huge crush from Ronan O'Gara, like when I was like in primary school. So then I said I'd give it a go this year. So it's been a really good decision, I must say. It was a bit, like Jacqueline said, it was a bit of a shock to your body and everything, because you're kind of like, whoa. And you're sore for a few days, but you're also kind of amazed to the fact that you can actually do stuff like this, like tackling and all that. I did not know I could bring someone down to the ground, but sometimes it happens, and you're kind of surprised with yourself.
Two good ones yesterday. Falling people like deck chairs.
Amazing. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, after break, I'll ask Lisa Justin about the real tackling, because it'll be important. We'll take a quick break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we have all the gang in from Tralee Rugby Club here, and of course we're looking at looking back at the league and all that goes on in the club. Tigger, we're talking about developing the club. I mean, obviously, I suppose in many senses people want to talk about results and winning and losing, but developing a club is far more important than that in a sense. I mean, you want to have a legacy, you want to have a youth policy where you're bringing people in, and I suppose in many ways you kind of don't want a situation where we have a team for a year or two and then we don't have nothing at all for a couple of years. So lots of little things have to happen to make that happen.
Yeah, so there's really good structure in the club now at the moment, at boys' age, but especially at girls' age. I think the number at the under-10s at the moment is high 20s. The under-12s is about 34. The under-14s is 30s, 36. So that's where all that's come from. Now, the under-16s is getting better and better and better. I think it's up to around 18. But there was that gap, that COVID period, which has affected the under-16s and the under-18s. So there's a big drive to get players into those gaps at the girls' level. So we'd be encouraging any girls at that age, at any age, 14s, 15s, 16s, to come up, because there is, it's a brilliant sport for girls. There's unbelievable pathways, so you can be the social player coming up that just wants to have the crack and have the laugh, or you can be somebody that looks a bit competitive. Like, we have a girl called Emma Dunican, and she's on the National Talent ID squad, hoping to get onto the Irish under 18 squad as well, mm-hmm. which is a great chance. She's already played Munster 7s, she's already played Munster 18s, so there's that environment as well where you can have the mix of both, that the social player that just wants to come up and have the crack, and the person wants to do the same but kick on another level,
mm-hmm.
so we offer that in the club, and we've, like, the structure is there now. This year is that all the coaches in the club, they have all done numerous coaching courses. They're all up to date with the current techniques. And I suppose for the girls' rugby as well, well, for all rugby, but a big development for that helps girls' rugby is that there's been a change in the law on the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you can only tackle below the sternum now, which has made girls' rugby and underage rugby way easier to manage, you know, safety wise. I know there's a concern with concussions and everything like that. That has dropped dramatically with this new introduction. So what I say to people, if it's players, if it's parents, what you see on TV, minus that by 98%, and that's what you have in underage structures, yeah. like, you know.
Absolutely.
And the values that it brings for kids, like, Ashley here is a PE teacher inside in Prez, and I do a bit of work in there, and, like, there is definitely
is there a huge engagement when you go in and say, put up the poster and say rugby for girls, mm-hmm. rugby for ladies, rugby for whatever? Do people say straight away brilliant, or do they say, oh, I might have that concern because my mother says, my God, this will broke this, that, the other thing? Or is there kind of an excitement that, I haven't tried it before, we'll try it and we'll see, because all our friends can join?
I suppose I've worked with Tigger now for the last 2 years, and I think we've gained, 10 girls from Prez Tralee, secondary school. So we continue to be the only school in Tralee with girls rugby, which is great. We have our junior 7 squad training at the moment. They were supposed to go to Ballincollig last week, but we had a day out in with Clochnaskeliga. With Tigger up in the club because it got cancelled. And we had another day with Prez Clarny because Vanessa, our own player, is teaching there, bringing rugby as well. And I brought 25 girls, and all those girls, like, half of them would have been like, yeah, let's go, I'm ready to tackle. And then the other half were kind of like, I'm going to break something. I'm like, do you break something like throwing a ball in PE? Do you break something like playing football? And they're like, no. I was like, yeah, but you're not going to do that here either, because, like Tigger says, he's come in and he says minus 98%.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can you catch and throw a ball? Yeah. Can you run? Yeah. You can do it. Like, it's just, we have a great relationship with Tralee Rugby Club. We're putting the sports capital grant as well together, to get our AstroTurf done up in the school. So it's like that for young girls, and the dropout rate, I just see it so much. Like, you see it once they get to under 16, under 18, like, they want to drop out of it. But, like, rugby is such a good sport, and the camaraderie, and for body image as well. Like, it's different to other sports in that you need every type of person, because some of them are like, oh, I'm not that fast. I'm like, that's fine, we're going to use you to hit it up in the middle. And they're like, yeah. It's great. It's I have them, can I go on the bus? And I'd be like, the bus is actually full, but leave it with me and we'll see. And even the girls from the club that play already are great supports to me when I'm trying to do things on the day as well.
Mm-hmm. Kyle, where was the magic moment for you? Like, I mean, where did you decide rugby? Yeah, we'll give it a go. Was it, we'll give it a go, a bit of a laugh, we'll give it a,
yeah, it was. I didn't really know what to expect. I had started at the very beginning of the year, I think it was January, and I was still living at home at the time, so I was travelling in from Castlemaine. Milton at Castlemaine. And just had to get that in. But I was travelling in.
You have
but
a different poster by her on the wall, yeah.
Ronan who? Ronan what?
But,
you should say Aidan O'Connor, you should say Aidan O'Connor.
Shut up. But anyway, I was travelling in, I wasn't going home after work because I didn't see the point and stuff, and it just wasn't a great time. But then I moved into Tralee a couple of months ago, and I said, I really need to just do something with me. And I suppose when you start working, you're seeing the same faces every day, and, you know, you're finished school and you're finished college, there's no way of making new friends, whereas this was a really nice way of meeting friends, people that, you know, kind of had the same interests as you, you're getting to know people, and that was the magic moment for me. There was a lot of times where I thought, I actually have no clue what I'm doing, but turn around to Nisha, turn around to Ruth, take anyone and be like, what am I doing? Or, you know, or whatever. They'll just, they'll explain everything to you step by step, and there's no like, how do you not get this? It's, that's fine, we'll go through it. And that's why I think I've stuck through it now, because I realised that we have a really good team and we have people that actually want you to develop for yourself and for the team. So okay, that was my magic moment.
She has some big magic moments. Normally, like, a magic moment is just like a magic moment.
Too many.
So somewhere in there was your magic moment. Can I ask one question, of course, just before I go to break again, because the guys are on about breaks. You understand breaks, don't you? Jacqueline, I mean, there's great fun here tonight, and there's great banter, and there's great... Is that replicated at training? Is that replicated all the way through?
Definitely, yeah.
So that makes it very easy in a sense.
Yeah. No, we're always having fun, but then we also do have our serious moments for sure. But in the games, we're always hyping each other up, and same thing with training. We just support each other, and we've got a solid team, so it'll be good.
Do you go back to the dressing room now and say, God, she could be better, and God, she's fearsome, and you know, are you in the dressing room long enough to have those? We could send her back to Milton, wherever she came from.
I wouldn't say there's anything putting anybody down. It's more of, oh, like, you crushed that. Like, you, I said to one of the girls the other day, I'm like, you were an animal. And because she was just like, she'd just get the ball and she would run. I think it was Katie.
Oh, yeah.
She'd just get the ball and she would just...
Just clarify that. No, sorry, Katie. Yes.
She would just run, but... Yeah, no, absolutely. It's all support.
Super.
All support.
Well, look, after a break, we'll chat with Ruth and Leisha once again, and we'll take a quick commercial break.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.
Now we're talking all things Tralee rugby with an awful gang of them here, Ashley, Tigger, Jacqueline, Ruth, Leisha and Kaya, who just gave us her magic moment there, right, about 4 hours ago.
Sounds so wrong.
It sounds so wrong. Come here, talking about magic moments in the whole lot, Leisha Driscoll. I mean, I would know you as a Gaelic footballer, ladies footballer, the whole lot, followed that pathway through South Kerry and Southern Gales. Where did your pathway coming to rugby?
I was lucky enough that I got the opportunity to move to America after college in my kind of early 20s. And I went over and I was playing soccer in the States. I was like I said, I was lucky enough to play for 2 years, and then I don't know, it's kind of weird in America, there's kind of no like kind of club scene for soccer, so when I stopped playing soccer excuse me, the logic was I just didn't really want to get fat really, so I just I was like, okay, what can I do? And there was like a small club where I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and there was a small like GA club, but that kind of wasn't really doing it for me. And rugby was something I always wanted to try, but I felt like I never had the kind of confidence to pick it up in college and stuff like that. And so I just went, and like that, just kind of fell in love with it straight away. And like a similar vibe to here, I suppose, as well. And I think that might be just a cultural thing with rugby. It was like an automatic group of friends, especially living so far away from home. So they were the Atlanta Harlequins, and like that, I just, you know, you come to your first training, and I suppose just from watching rugby always, I kind of knew the general concept, you know, I could catch it, I could pass it, but you know, you'd be kind of, you had your Gaelic football skills, you know, you'd be kind of soloing the kind of rugby ball away, and they were just astonished that I had this sort of skill. So I kind of was put into 10 straight away, and not knowing that at 10 you're kind of running the show, so I was kind of like, oh my god, what do I do now? So
kick it over.
So it was a huge massive learning curve. I mean, you're kind of thrown into the deep, it was a case of being thrown into the deep end. But like I was so fortunate, I had a chance to train under, you know, like former USA Eagles on the women's side, and a couple of the men that still play now. There's an AJ McGinty who played for Sale Sharks, and he was from Dublin, and then there's the current hooker for the USA Eagles is Dylan Fossey, who's from Wexford, so he trained us as well. And so yeah, that's how I got into it. And then so that was, I suppose, started playing about 10 years ago now. And I remember then when I came home in 2017, I was kind of, I really want to, you know, continue to play rugby. And there was this kind of like, oh, will it be the same? Because, you know, I really loved it. I loved the culture. I loved, you know, like it was like that. It was, my entire friend group was there, and I was like, will it be the same? And sure enough, when I came, it was like that, very, very welcoming. But it was just the exact same culture-wise, and like just, like that, a giant group of weirdos who want to run into other women on a Sunday. So it was...
And you're out half in the middle.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, and it was, because like that, it was, you know, I only ever had ever played for one rugby team and that's all you know. And then you're just kind of hoping that it'll be somewhat the same. And it was. And I think like that, if for anyone who's ever travelling or who does play rugby, there's like that, it's just that automatic mm-hmm. group of friends and you kind of know already that you're going to get along with them. So that's one of the other kind of magical things about rugby as well. So.
Yeah, Ruth, I won't say you've been there a long while, but you have been there a while. The club is growing up in front of your eyes, really. I mean, you must see an awful lot of players kind of coming in the door, hanging around, going back out the door and the whole lot. It must be a great vibe, great feel to be involved with it.
There is, definitely there is. Yeah, if we could get some of those old players back again to coach, it'd be brilliant. Yeah.
Nobody could coach Alicia Driscoll. So.
But even for the underage structure, you know, to get them back in would be fantastic. Yeah, I think a lot of them are starting to come back. There's a lot of players that had played even with the men's
what keeps
team.
Bringing you back, Ruth? Every year, I mean... God, another season done, dusted the whole lot. I mean, you have a break in between. Is it like, you don't even think about it. I'm back, I'm there, I'm...
Do you know what? They've become my family. So, like, if I was to walk away, I'd be...
I'm not asking you to walk away, no.
I'd be walking away from my family, like, so, yeah. Do you know, it's... Yeah, it's just...
Yeah. And that kind of means a lot. I mean, like, I mean, when people say it's family, people understand that. I mean, you understand your family. You understand, I suppose, being involved with a lot of people who, in many ways, are giving up the same amount of time that you're giving up for the whole idea of what you want to do. They're travelling to Skibbereen together, or they're getting lost on the road down somewhere else together. They're all giving up an hour or 2 hours to go train together. And I suppose, after a while, that kind of gels a family together.
Oh, definitely does. Yeah. But even, like, it's the whole travelling together, like carpooling or anything like that, it's the fun, it's the crack, it's the banter amongst them all. And you know what, but at the same time, they're all there for one another. Like, if you've any problems, they're there for you. If you know, if
that's the human side of sport that people don't talk about. We talk about winning the All-Ireland, we talk about winning, but everybody doesn't win the All-Ireland. I mean, you go through injuries and, you know, there's things that happen at home and there's things that happen in your world, and you kind of need another kind of a world away from it. And rugby can provide this, particularly with the amount of good banter you're having around the table this evening.
Yeah, and it's... I suppose it's an escapism, really. It's a chance to put your... even your home life away, your work life. It's just... It's an escapism. It's different family, different, just the fun side of it and all that, but it's the serious side too. And I don't know, it's
kind of a safe and positive collective. It is part of, like,
with the teacher with the big words,
the teacher words. Yeah.
It's really nice when you have like a really hard day at work,
yeah,
and you can put your phone in the car, you go out in the muck for an hour and a half, you're a group of girls that all want to do the same thing, and you go home afterwards, you have a shower and you just feel 10 times better, like, mm-hmm. And nothing can replace that, like.
Super. I thought you were to talk about dairy farming there for a while. So Karen, go do an hour's work. Tigger, we have 50 seconds. Why should somebody listening tonight who's on the fence, kind of, or maybe have been with you before, should come back?
Why should they come back? De-stress. Okay. De-stress. Because life is stressful. Work is always stressful. It's coming up to Christmas time, everything like that, you know. But if you want a place where you can just... literally walk into the dressing room, put on boots and be laughing coming off the pitch and have a smile on your face driving out, well, yeah, that's why. And that's any age. That's girls that are looking at junior cert, girls that are looking at leaving cert, girls that have, you know, women that have high powered jobs. It's just a total de-stressor.
Well, I don't think we could add anything to that, could we? We'll leave that to the final word, will we? Take your fair play to you. God almighty, you're really inspirational. I'd imagine your speeches at halftime are quite inspirational as well, are they?
Yeah.
Inspirational. Yeah, and coloured. Good stuff. Come here, listen, guys. Thanks very much. That, of course, is Tralee Rugby Club in with us. And, of course, we will have you in again next year. There's no problem, because I want to talk to you about your 11th season. Ruth will certainly be here. Hopefully you'll be here as well, or else we'll have a new Canadian or something. Tigger will certainly be here. You'll still be in.
I'll still be here.
And Kaya will be getting better at it.
Monday.
Absolutely. We'll see you next Monday. That was Terrace Talk this evening. Thanks very much to, who else inside there? Mary, do you ever play rugby? Give us a wave. No, Mary's a music person. Talk to us. Yeah, no rugby for her anyway. Keane, thanks very much. Ivan, thanks very much. Donald Barrett here on Terrace Talk, and we'll do it all again next week.
Terrace Talk on Radio Kerry, brought to you in association with Meadowlands Hotel Tralee, where being local means coming home.